you and we give you praise.
Love Talk Radio.
We pray. Amen.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. Thank you. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Yes. Oh,
I lift my hand in total adoration to you.
Come on, say it. You reign on the throne.
You reign on the throne, for you are God. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
Wrap me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm.
I want to tell you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love him more than anything. That is a powerful song to open up the podcast tonight. Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm director and your host tonight, Evangelist Seer Linda Caceres. I'm so honored to have you listening, streaming in, dialing in, and to have my guest on tonight, handpicked, anointed of the Most High God, Yahshua Jesus. My God, I am so excited. I had a blessed day. The weather is great here where I live. I hope it is, and God is pouring out his spirit upon you where you are. I thank you for joining us. I'm so honored. I'm blessed. And I just want to give a shout out to the nations around the world that tune in, that stream in mostly on demand because it's free. All they have to do is go online to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And there's 12 or 13 pages of 2 hours, some are one, some are 3 hours, broadcast only on the Most High God, the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, anointed, spirit-filled guests, ministers, laymen, bishops, apostles. I'm just thrilled. I remember some years ago when the Lord spoke to me and told me that the name of the ministry that he's given me is Gatekeepers. Well, I didn't have much of a clue really what a gatekeeper really was. So there was a social media site that I was on, and the Lord told me to go look up some profiles and to send them this question: what is your definition of a gatekeeper? And lo and behold, within a week or two, I got 500 responses with the definition of a gatekeeper. And a lot of the people that who I was following on social media at that time, they weren't given their titles of bishops and apostles and all that in their profile. And so when they messaged me back, they let me know who they were. And I was overwhelmed. I was so blessed to hear back from apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and bishops telling me in 5 and 6 and 7 paragraphs what a gatekeeper is. And they told me that a gatekeeper is an assignment from God. It's not a fivefold ministry, but is a assignment from God, and I never saw it that way. And so they just defined what it was. And then one bishop said to me, you need to, instead of having Gatekeepers Ministry, you need to have Gatekeepers Ministry International, because your ministry of Gatekeepers is going to go international. So sure enough, I put Gatekeepers Ministry International, and within no time, the broadcast had started going international. I have a way of looking at a map to see who is streaming in, not so much calling in from other nations, because that would be very costly for them, but who is streaming in from nations all around the world. So I started writing them down from the map that I have, and I've listed so many. And I just want to give, I don't do it often, but I just want to give a shout out to these nations that where God has drawn by the Ruach HaKodesh to this ministry, to hear the word of the Lord, the pure word, the uncompromised word from men and women of God, young, elderly, anointed, mature women of God, that have given a word from the Lord from a pure heart and clean hands on this broadcast. So there's 12 or 13 pages, and there's 10 broadcasts on each page. So I just want to give a shout out to Denmark and Portugal, Lithuania and Iraq, Cameroon, Austria, Poland, Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Uganda, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Spain, Myanmar, and so much is going on in Myanmar right now. We want to pray for them right now. So, Father, we lift this country up to you, and we ask, God, that you would hover over it and breathe righteousness into this nation. We bind the enemy that is resisting a democratic republic in this nation. Lord, we ask, God, that you would rain righteousness in these people. We bind that violent spirit in the name of Jesus and that dictatorship principality that has been ruling in this nation. And we release the anointing power of the Holy Ghost, and we ask, God, that you would reside in that nation, that you would give the Christians in that nation peace, your shalom peace about what you are doing there specifically. And Lord, we speak and we decree and declare a democratic nation to come to pass in that land. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would cover this country in the blood of your son Jesus, Father, and we thank you. So we give a shout out to Burma, Italy, the Democrat Republic of Congo, China, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, and Peru, Australia, Bangladesh, Germany, France, Togo, Netherlands. God, we thank you for all these nations that you've drawn to this ministry: Tobago, Norway, Ireland, South Korea, London, the UK, Israel, the Republic of Serbia, Canada, Ghana, Sweden, Trinidad, Vietnam, Egypt, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, South Africa, and Kenya. We thank you for them, Lord. The Philippines, India, Greece, New Zealand, Somalia, Belgium, Nigeria, Russia, Pakistan, Malaysia, Argentina, Namibia, Croatia, Japan, Jamaica, Ivory Coast. We thank you for them, Lord. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. Nicaragua, Barbados, Slovakia, Venezuela, and Turkey. And Lord, this great nation, the United States of America, not because any person made it great, but because you have had your hand on this nation and you've made this nation great. So we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for drawing by your Holy Spirit listeners from all these nations. My God, Lord, when you said that you were going to take this ministry global, you did just that. You stood by your word. You honored your word, and you drew them to your word, Lord God, because this ministry on this podcast is nothing but the word of God, and everything else is going down but the word of God. So, Father, we thank you. We're excited tonight, and we bless your holy name. Lord, I thank you for Isaiah 26:9 that says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night, Lord. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. And when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." My God, sometimes it's sad to realize the reality that when God's judgments are in the earth, that's when people wake up to righteousness. So I'm going to just say a brief prayer before I introduce my first speaker. I'm so excited about Bishop being on tonight. I'm going to tell you that we went to the same elementary school. His brother, myself, and him, and we were all in the same grade. And Facebook just brings people together, because that's how we came together. And then our little elementary school in Philadelphia is like lighting up the Facebook pages because other people are finding us. And I think it's so wonderful, and I'm just excited. You get excited when you come through Catholic school and they really teach you a lot about Jesus, you know, and they teach you the values of the three persons in one, the Trinity. And we did get a foundation there aside from all the other Catholic doctrines, but our parents did the right thing because we did get a good foundation there. And I'm just honored to have Bishop Sylvester Wright on the podcast tonight. Who would have known that he would grow up, come out of his mother's womb, anointed a bishop, didn't even know it until he got to a place in God after elementary school and high school. And myself, who would have known that God would have taken me from all the stuff that I was enjoying in the world into his marvelous light, pulling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, my God. My mother never knew that she was raising up a seer, an evangelist. She was tight, too. She was tight when it came to rules, tight when it came to house cleaning, tight when it came to morals. Yes, she was. She was just birthed us on doing the right thing, telling the truth, you know, and she wasn't even saved. But I thank God that we had parents that sacrificed financially to put us in private schools where we would get the rearing in a Catholic education to come to know Jesus and him dying for us. But I didn't get saved in the Catholic Church, but I did get the foundation that I needed, that when God began to pull on me, because he certainly did spare my life growing up as a teenager and a young adult. But I'm going to pray right now and then move right on into the broadcast. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We lift you up and honor you. Lord God, we ask that you would look upon us with your mercy and your grace. We ask, God, that you would find favor in what we say, what we minister on this podcast tonight. We ask, God, that you would look upon every person streaming in and listening in, and, Father, that you would minister to them. Cover us all in the blood of Jesus again. Lord God, our children, our grandchildren, Lord, our homes, everything that you've blessed us to have. Lord, we ask that you be high and lifted up, Lord God. We ask, God, that you be magnified, that you be glorified in what we say tonight, Lord God, that your word would go forth with power in the name of Jesus. That's the only power that there is. Hallelujah. We thank you and we give you praise. We humble ourselves before you right now, Lord God, Elohim, Adonai, and we ask that you would rain righteousness upon us right now, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my third speaker tonight had an emergency on her job, but I'm going to have her. She's been on the broadcast before years ago, and she's coming back again, and she's a powerful preacher. And so I'm going to have her on at another time. So we just ask that you just sit back, get your Bible, turn it to Isaiah, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bishop Sylvester Stephen Wright. And then I'll give him the floor. Bishop Wright was born in the United States and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He presently serves as the bishop and prelate, as well as being the founder of Faith, Mercy, and Truth Ministry International, overseeing churches and ministries in the United States, Pakistan, Africa, and India. The Faith, Mercy, and Truth Ministry International does three separate pre-recorded weekly radio broadcasts in Malawi, Sierra Leone, Uganda, Africa. Bishop Wright is also the administrator of the Word of Truth Healing and Deliverance Ministries International under the cover of Apostle Dr. Frank A. Willett and charged to be the Dean of Students for the Word of Truth Bible Academy. Bishop Dr. Sylvester Stephen Wright has served in ministry since 1992 and has been trained and worked in the many and various areas of ministries. His life is continually devoted to improving the lives of others and believes the church should not be about activism or personal success or empire building. I agree. Instead, it should be about God and serving others by snatching them from the fire and showing mercy mixed with godly fear. Praise the Lord. Presently, God blessed him with his wife, and she's gorgeous too, and best friend in marriage, chaplain and evangelist Michelle Doreen Wright, who is also in ministry, and they share 5 adult children between them both. Bishop is employed as a supervisor within a specialized field of substance abuse, forensic, and behavior science at a healthcare residential treatment center, offering both medical and therapy support services targeting the opiate epidemic while mitigating care during the COVID-19 pandemic. He strongly tries to live life by example and saying, only what you do for Christ matters. You know, this is something because I end all my podcasts before I close. I reiterate and I want to impact my listeners to know that only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else, you do it for your pastor, you do it for your friend, you do it to impress, or you do it to influence. All that's going to burn up in the fire. Only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you, Bishop Wright. Your mic is open. I'm honored to have you on the podcast. I'm glad the Holy Ghost caused us to find each other. You and your brother and all our Little Flower elementary school friends that are all grown and doing wonderful things and productive things. I'm blessed to have you on the broadcast, sir. Your mic is open. It's all yours.
Thank you, Evangelist Linda. First, I want to give God the praise and honor for allowing me to minister unto him and to forecast what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me at this time as I reflected on this platform. Also, I want to thank you again, our host for this radio broadcast and platform of the Gatekeepers Ministry International. And in view of this message tonight and understanding the words of our Savior Jesus saying that no one can get to God unless they come through him, and no one can come to Christ unless God draws him. I now gave you a foreshadowing of this in the following scripture, which is our scripture tonight, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, which I will tag a topic, Learn Righteousness. And it starts off saying, and I believe this to be a prayer from Isaiah, to God, prophesying to the Lord himself. My soul yearns for you in the night, and in the morning my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But let me give you the prelude or the introduction of that scripture, the verses that support that foundational prophet was that when he was speaking to the Lord. So he confirms his relationship by saying, the way of the just is upright, uprightness. And he starts off saying that in verse 7. Before we get to verse 9, he says, the way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let me give you another translation found in the New King James Version of Isaiah 26, verse 9. And it reads, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me. I will seek you early, for when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Beloved, in the kingdom of God, the children of the Most High God, Hashem, are walking in such a way that it reflects what is just and pleasing to the Lord. And this way is the way of uprightness. One of the most important principles to embrace concerning salvation is to accept that it is impossible for us to approach God based on what we have done. Even though all of it seems good in the natural realm, in our own self-sufficiency and sinful state, we would not even be able to stand in God's presence because of the effects of sin. Some time ago, I met a young man that said that he did not go to church. He did not want to give his life to God. He did not want to accept Christ because he needed to be in right standing before he comes and presents himself to the Lord. He had so many things that he was struggling with, and he wasn't ready yet. And when he's ready to commit himself, he will be accepted by the Lord. Such is a lot of people who think, even in the younger generation, the present generation, and our future generation. No one can present themselves worthy before the Lord by saying that they are clean and accepted and of standing. For such is the reason I come to you today, sharing a truth and treasure, one shown and revealed in the acceptance of the Savior. Also come in the name of Yeshua, confirming to you by his most holy blood of atonement, freely paid, that it is only the Lord himself who makes his people just. And this only comes by a relationship of faith and trust in him. So the Bible scripture clearly encourages us. Then they walk in the way of uprightness. And this is found only in the Lord. Amen. We find so many times that we are in error concerning our relationships with God, but we have no relationship. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke to the keepers and teachers of the law in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, verse 18 and 20, and said to them, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It is important to believe the Lord cares about the walk of his just ones, and the desire of our souls should be for his name and his name's sake only. Because in the Lord's kingdom, or the kingdom of God, the just people who are justified love and desire him, and this desire is displayed in waiting. Thus, the scripture says, O Lord, we have waited for you. Persons truly desire something or someone, they will wait and do it gladly because of their desire. And this desire is displayed in seeking. The scripture says, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. I like the way David said it in Psalms 42, verse 1. He says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul desires or longs after you, O God. When you truly desire something or someone. You seek them all the time, both early and at night. As our scripture says, my soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. I'm coming to tell you today that Israel is reminded each year of what occurred in Exodus when God told Pharaoh, let my people go. And the judgment that followed commemorates the emancipation of Israel from slavery in ancient Egypt. And as the scripture tells us in Psalms 105, verse 7, he is the Lord our God. Judgments are in all the earth. It is our devotion to the Lord right here in this place of knowing. When God's judgments come upon the earth, the people of the earth learn righteousness. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in the earth. It is our devotion to the Lord right here in this place, knowing when God's judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. And we are stimulated, stirred up, and encourage ourselves to praise God when we seek the Lord's strength and grace, not that of man, but the strength of his spirit to work in us that which is good, which we cannot do but by strength derived from him, for which he will be sought. Seek to have God's favor to eternity. Therefore, continue seeking it while living in this world. For he will not only be found, but he will reward those that diligently seek him. Amen. God is good. King verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to share something with you. Years ago, with faith and hope in Christ as my anchor, I want to encourage some of the men by sharing the gospel in one of the Philadelphia prisons. This was part of my ministry work 15 years ago in the year 2006. The interesting thing about that, as I shared, I was trying to encourage the prisoners there as they would learn something new in terms of history and about having a change of heart. This was part, again, as I said, of my ministry. It was here I gave the following piece of history to the inmates presenting themselves to hear a word from the Lord. I shared a bit of history to help them bring or understand a greater revelation about God's grace and learning righteousness. I shared with them what occurred in the country of England between the years of 1800 and the 1900. It was during this time that thousands of people were condemned for minor offenses such as a charge and conviction for pickpocketing and received a sentencing, death by hanging. These executions were carried out in public and made public spectacles. And at this time, the gallows on which the accused stood to be hanged created short drops and inflicted death by strangulation, which could take several minutes before the victim lost consciousness. Could you imagine this? As the many years progressed, it was finally realized that such a public spectacle did not stop, prevent, or deter criminals. In fact, instead of its intention for these public hangings for small offenses to be a deterrent, it ended with encouraging troublemakers and allowed thieves easy pickings from the very pockets of the many onlookers during the hanging. The interesting thing about this whole ordeal concerning these hangings is that it never accomplished a change of heart. And also, if you consider these offenses to be minor ones, with the onslaught punishment of forfeiting one's personal life, in the end, it meant nothing to the offender. The second part of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9 says, both God's mercy and justice leads to righteousness. when your judgment, it says, when your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Man's judgment did nothing to these people that was in this situation in England. Even though they saw the hangings, they continued to pickpocket, even knowing that if they got caught, they would die. But yet God in his awesomeness and his omnipotency and his omniscience, which is righteous, can change a man's heart. But what is the definition of the word righteousness? The first part of the word is right, and is defined as moral correctness, while the suffix part of this word brings a change to it, the end of it, is meaning to have the nature of. When you combine these two together, you get a simple definition, meaning the following. Have a nature of moral correctness. It's often perceived, beloved, as a quality or state of being morally correct and justifiable. It can be considered synonymous with the word rightness or being upright. Amen? Saints, in the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we see the very first time the word righteousness is used in the Bible, and this verse does not give reference or indicate anything concerning the Ten Commandments or the law. Instead, we learn that Abraham believed the God made and God challenged his belief as righteousness. We can see if we open our hearts that righteousness doesn't start with being right or doing right. Righteousness is the state of moral perfection required by God. And however, the Bible clearly states that human beings cannot achieve righteousness through their own efforts. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The good news is that true righteousness is possible for mankind, but only through the cleansing of sin by Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, give glory to God for the Holy Spirit. If anyone thinks they have the ability to achieve righteousness in and of themselves, they are wrong. But Christians possess the righteousness of Christ because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him, Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm in the text, y'all. This is an amazing truth because on the cross, Jesus exchanged our sin for his perfect righteousness so that we can one day stand before God and he will never see our sin, but see only the holy righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody, for this is a reason to give the Lord praise, that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 3, verse 21-22 and verse 24-26 says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. All are justified freely by his God, by his God's grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished in his mercy. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. In the Bible, Jesus directly instructed us who are the called out ones. First, seek out God's kingdom and learn of his righteousness. The Lord taught us in Matthew chapter 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Beloved, it is more than a notion. but instead it is absolutely necessary for every person considering acceptance into God's divine kingdom to regard righteousness to the uttermost and to see righteousness as God sees it and conform to it. And all these things shall be added unto you, as Jesus said to his disciples. Again, our scripture today centers around Isaiah 26, verse 9, saying, my soul yearns for you in the night, and in the morning my spirit longs for you. And when your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Christians and non-believers alike today are facing many trials and burdens, especially in view of this present COVID pandemic and the many afflictions surrounding it, such as the emotional climate, fear, and political unrest. One enlightening piece of scripture for today's current circumstances and times is found in Psalms 119, verse 71, where David says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. How many know that God chastens those he loves? Let us look at it from a different perspective about learning righteousness, and allow me to introduce a landmark plea. It is a plea of a Hebrew scholar, a Jewish man, perceived by some to have turned rogue or perhaps a renegade, and now finds himself a champion for the cause of Jesus, Christianity, and the gospel. He is called the Apostle Paul, and thus comes the encouragement for us to learn something new. Amen? In the book of Romans, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks, and in some translations even pleads and begs about conforming and transformation, bringing light to a subject many people believe not important and minuscule as it applies to the innermost part of human existence and everyday living in the sight of God. Thus, it reads in the Amplified version of the Bible in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your body, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you, for your life, your life. The Bible tells us in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Thanks, what was just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Jesus himself gives us the answer on how to do this. In this test and why, saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, ask great things, and the small shall be added to you. And ask heavenly things, and the earthly shall be added to you. In the scripture of Romans chapter 8, it tells us, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This means that we are made righteous in the sight of God. That is, that we are accepted as righteous and treated as righteous by God on account of what the Lord Jesus had done. He was made sin. We are made righteous. He switched it. For on the cross, Jesus was treated as if he were a sinner.
Hallelujah.
So he was perfectly holy and pure, and we are treated as if we were righteous, although we are defiled, filthy, vile, and depraved. I come to tell you today, the Bible says, all of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us. None of us is right before God. However, being righteous, conscious will keep your heart established in faith, love, joy, and peace. Check your heart. It will tell you what you focus on. I saw something on a devotional that was sent to me. About righteousness and about Christ and how we are to perceive what Jesus did on the cross and how we look at sin and how we deal with condemnation on the account what the Lord Jesus had experienced and endured on our behalf, how we are to see what God did by sending himself. And as I received many devotionals and to my emails from different people, there's one particularly that I was interested in sharing with you now, and it arrived about 24 hours ago. And it says, being forgetful is godly. And I would like to share the message he wrote on this devotional. The writer states that people who are sin conscious will read God's word from the perspective that sin is the problem. And those who are righteousness conscious will read God's word seeing that righteousness is the issue and the cure for sin. Sin consciousness will keep you under condemnation, shame, guilt, and fear. However, being righteousness conscious will keep your heart established in faith, love, joy, and peace. As I said earlier, check your heart and see if it tells you what you're focusing on. The Bible tells us in the following, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer from, you know, every day, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin, because they continue to sin, even though the priest made the atonement for their sins. The author here of Hebrews is dealing with the Jewish believers wanting to go back to trusting in the blood and the animal sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. He explained that if those sacrifices could have made you perfect, then it would not be necessary to be done year after year, then again and again. And on the other hand, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was a once and for all sacrifice that did make all those who received Christ or Jesus perfect and righteous. Furthermore, Jesus' blood will wash us or purge us of our conscience regarding sin, which is something the blood of bulls and goats was unable to do. I come to tell you today that God has no interest in remembering your past sins, and neither should you. Leave the past in the past and under the blood that removes every sin forever. Your identity and relationship with God has nothing at all to do with your past, but who you are in Christ does. God's confirmation of this is shown in the word of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for he says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sin and their iniquities will I remember no more. Beloved, only a foolish person would try to remember what God has chosen to forget. May I remind you of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, there is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? I come to tell you today that righteousness is an attribute that belongs to God alone, who is the lawgiver and is manifested in his law. No man can be justified by his own works apart from God's ordinance. Therefore, learning righteousness is a wonderful gift from God to humanity, bestowed upon the believer through his love. It is the God-given quality imputed to man upon believing in the Son of God. Come on, somebody, and give God some glory.
Hallelujah.
It is the knowing and trusting that the way of the upright will be vindicated, and one day the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And we will see this, and we see it now, and they will see it. They will see it in the deity of Jesus, our Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may I submit to you what is in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 1. For God brings about a complete makeover of heaven and earth. The manifestation of a new heaven and a new earth are what some call the eternal state and will be where righteousness dwells. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter verse 3, verse 13. And after the recreation, God reveals the new Jerusalem. The Apostle John received a glimpse of it in his vision, the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, his church. This is the city that Abraham looked for in faith. It is the place where God Almighty will dwell with his people forever, and the inhabitants of this celestial city will have all tears wiped away. You won't go through what we're going through now. One of my favorite scriptures attached to my prayers, as I encourage myself from time to time in the Lord, and I pray, is Psalms chapter 5, verse 12. It says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass, meaning surround him as with a shield. I mean, you know that God gives you favor. The Bible tells us of an encounter Jesus had with a rich young man that comes up to Christ and asks him how to inherit eternal life. Jesus tells the young man to keep God's commandments, which the young man quickly replies and claims to have kept, saying, what do I still lack, he asks. That's Matthew chapter 19, verse 20. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The man went away sorrowful. In some translations, the Bible says that Jesus loved him. But let us not forget that Jesus did give the rich young man an option. However, it was this man's personal choice, as it is for many who have not accepted Jesus Christ, not to sell his possessions and give to the poor. Noteworthy, we can see that Jesus began his instruction to this young man with, if you want to be perfect. But the truth of the matter, and from the strength of the scripture, as believers, we understand we can never be perfect. In fact, Jesus came because we can never earn our way into heaven. Still, Jesus was giving the man a test of his willingness to follow God, and the man just simply did not obey. He failed to accept it because he wanted to hold on to worldly goods, worldly understanding. Jesus saw that the young man's heart was not completely devoted to God. He was keeping all the rules, but his response to Jesus and the command revealed that the young man did not desire to take the necessary actions of following Jesus. If Jesus asked the same of you, would you obey? John chapter 10, verse 28 tells us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There is a home as I end, says God's hands are righteous, mighty, and powerful. They are loving and kind and oh so merciful. His hands are etched with the names of those who through grace by faith, redemption in Jesus they chose. Out of God's hands no one can be snatched, for unto our souls his fingers are laxed. The promise of righteousness is in Isaiah chapter 41 as the prophet shares this word to the people. In verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. God, I pray, God, that this word was received in all its abundance. I pray, God, that as this was released, this message, God, that the people will be edified, built up, gotten encouraged in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I feel like I've been in church. I feel like I have been in church. I could feel the anointing power of the Holy Ghost, Bishop. What a thorough message on righteousness. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that Abraham was counted to God as righteous because of his faith. So, I mean, the Lord spoke to me through the night about Abraham. I mean, through the morning this morning about Abraham. I couldn't even sleep. I just laid in the bed and listened to him talk and remind me of who Abraham was. And that God counted his faith unto him as righteousness. Thank you, Bishop, for that word. What a powerful word, an altar call in that word. People from all over the world will hear that and hopefully rededicate their lives to Christ and just be as ministered to as thoroughly as I have been. I had to take a deep breath there. I mean, what a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Bishop. The anointing of the Holy Spirit has certainly shined through this podcast from you. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I can't wait to share this podcast with those that have missed it. We have some callers, but I know I can't see how many people have streamed in until after the podcast. But I thank you. I thank you for First Lady Wright for lending you to us for a while. And I just appreciate both of you. So God bless you. Have a good night at work. And may the Lord just use you and the anointing flow through you to those that you come in contact with on this night and every night.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you. God bless you, too, my sister. Prophetess Iris, how you doing there?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great, yeah.
Good. I'm glad to have you on the broadcast tonight. You know, I'm always waiting, sitting tight to hear what God has to say through you. And I just want to let the listeners know that Isaiah 26:9 is just a powerful scripture. I heard a pastor say it on his broadcast about 3 or 4 weeks ago, or maybe a month or so ago, and I read it again and again and again, and I said, "Oh, we need to explode this wide open on the podcast through the airwaves." So, Prophetess Iris, most of my audience knows you, so you need no introduction. So your mic is open. God bless you. It's all yours.
Praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for this beautiful passage that we are going to talk about. As I was reading and meditating on this scripture, and it's so beautiful, it's so deep. You know, the word of God is profound, is deep. And many times I tell my children, hey, you know, the word of God, the Bible is just like, you know, how the man is trying to explore the heavens and oceans, and every other day they come to the new discovery and it's not enough. And there's so much more to dig deeper and find the depth of God's creation. And the word of God is God himself. And it's so deep, it's so beautiful. And, you know, when we read and go deeper into the meaning and into the heart of the Father of Heaven, it nourishes us, it blesses us, it encourages us, and it helps us to walk our walk with God, you know, into the deeper and intimate level with God. So I'm going to read this scripture today. Lord, we pray and we bless this message. God, I pray that it's not me, but it's you talking through me, Father. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, Yeshua Jesus, God, to bless this, the word that we are speaking. God, speak through me what you want your children to hear. God, bless your children, all of them, each one of them in every part of the world, God. Pierce your word like a sword into their heart, and God, a part into their being, and enter into each and every part and cell of their body, and bring them into the newness of life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Isaiah 26, verse 9. My soul longs for you at night. Yes, my within me seeks for you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. When you read the scriptures, it comes into the two contrasts. It's just like first part is Isaiah is talking about how he is longing for God. It's a worship. He's seeking God, his face, at night. At night, you know, when we read about the times of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 25, 26, it has a prophetic message about God, his prophecy of Jesus Christ, his coming, salvation, his kingdom, his judgment, his righteousness. It's all filled with all those messages. It's all those prophecies. And at that time when Israel was walking away from God, and they had, you know, they were sent out to Babylon. You know, they were, you know, I mean, they were in Israel, and after they had been living in sin, and they were not following the word of God, they were not following the commandments of God, and they were, they had gone away from God, you know, left and right. They had got into the wider idol worshiping, and they turned their face away from God. At that time, they were, you know, removed from their land, from Israel, and they were cast away from their land into the life in Babylon, where they were the servants, where they were slaves, and where they were serving the other nations. And it was a time of the judgment of God, and God had removed them from their sight. So when you read that my soul longs for you at night, it was in the times of the sufferings of separation from God. It's a time of you know, the season when it was a night. Night is darkness. You know, when we go through the path of a life, in the days of life, when we're going through the suffering, so we are not walking with God, or we are away from God, and we are going to the season of, you know, correction from God, or we are going through the times when God is working in our personal life to bring the correction, to bring us back. And many times those phases in our life seems like night, like dark days. And then he says that my soul longs for you at night. Yes, my spirit within me seeks for you. So this is a time when the Israel started to come back to God. There was a phase at the and the end when God has removed them from Babylon and bring them back to the land. So they were seeking. They started to get connected to their God. And they were seeking God to come back. And at, in those days, in those times of suffering, they were looking for their Father in heaven and finding this, you know, rescue for that purpose. So my soul, and you know what? It talks about how we need to see God, how we need to go and be still before the Lord. And it is not only in the night, even in the morning, in our good times and bad times, the only way we can come to the unification with God, with connection with God, is through the worship, when we go still in His presence, when we are in His, and this is the word of God. You know, God said, be still, for I am God. That is the God's word, and this is what He is. The prophet is talking about that. And when we read that, my soul longs for you, It's like the depth of the intimate relationship that he's seeking. He's longing for God. You know what? When the mother is away from a child for a day, you can separate a mom from a child for a day, and maybe a day or 2 days, and you can see how the child will start to miss a mother, and you know that deep desire to go back to my mom. Where is my mom? Where is my father? Especially the mother. That connection between mom and mother, if you separate them for a few days and bring them together, you know, that the reconnection between mother and child is the depth of the emotion that you cannot even comprehend. The child is going to, the moment he is going to see his mother coming to him after that small separation, connection that he is going to find with the mother and the mother with the child is beyond words. And this is what it was in those days, in the time of Isaiah is talking about. And it is that kind of a deep love and passion that he is looking at with his father to the son. My soul longs for you at night. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And as we move on and look at that, you know, when the Israel was taken away from God, I'm just looking at my little notes right here. And I will just tell you a little dream that I had from the Lord. And it's going to take us to those days, because when you're looking at the scriptures, which is, for when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. So that is talking about the judgment of God. You know, first of all, in the first part, it talks about how God is connecting. You know, he is connecting with the Lord, and then your judgments are in the earth. So the judgments of God, I don't believe that the judgments of God is for punishment, is something that God has for his children to hurt them. But it is a second form of his love and compassion for his children. You know, when we read in the Word of God, it talks about how God disciplines only those he loves. Hebrews 12:6, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. So the judgments that come on earth is not to forsake his people, is not to separate from them, but is to bring them, to draw them closer to him. So when the Israel was sent away, in the same way, the way the Israel stories are in the Bible, stories in the Old Testament, from time to time, how they had been separated from God, and the God took them back, drawn them back, is the same way our life stories are in the world, in every phase, the world and the stories is a reflection of the same life. We experience the same in our life. When we are separated from God, he draws us back, because God is a God of grace and love. The judgment on earth is coming and is going to continue to come. That's the word of God. That's the book of Revelation. And it does talk about that again and again. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus had talked about that in detail, the season of the tribulations, how the things on earth are going to be happening, the earthquake, the disasters, and there are going to be famine, and the different phases of the things that the world is coming through. It is coming through. We are already going through, those times and seasons. But this is not to separate the world. This is only to bring and draw his sheep back to him, because the world today has gone into their own self, worship. The people have gone into their own, desires and passions, then looking for God. As in the first part of that scripture talks about how he longs for God. But when we look at the picture, what we see in reality in life today is not so. Most of the people, majority of the world, like each and every individual, we talked about that we are going and seeking and looking for the things that we desire for our own life. Even there's a church, it's a personal life, it's an individual, every person. We are not seeking God enough. We are not, seeking him or going in the closet and be still before him. But we have so many things to worry about: our work, our job, our children, our families. We prioritize our needs above God. And this is a dilemma that the world is going through. As we go from one year to the next year to the next year, things are really getting worse. Like in 2020, we can see that what happened, the plagues and the conflicts, the hatred that we read and learn that the Jesus had talked about in the last days, how is going to be the conflict. And it's going to be the hatred, and it's going to be the wars and famines and all those things. And in 2020, we had seen a little reflection, little taste of the sufferings that came on earth at the global level. But what happened in that? I know the churches shut down, and people had the time to spend at home in families. And we were forced to be in, to be like just inside the homes and not to be as free and independent and doing the things that we do normally in life. But how many in the world out there have really sought God in those times of idleness, or maybe when we were not able to go to the parties and restaurants and going for vacations, we had that time. How many people had really sought God and looked in those dark days that we had gone through? It was really the season of night in our lives. But who had gone into and searched God, as we read in the scripture that he talked about, that my soul longs for you at night. It was a season of night last year, but how many had really longed to seek the Lord? Many people had you know, started watching the movies. Like, you know, we had learned that how the stocks have gone up for Netflix and all those social medias. They have been bombarded and they have built a billion and million dollar profits. They have grown because majority of the world was only seeking the pleasure of the world. Well, there are many, many of them had also gone into the Word of God, and there are so many people, and it blesses the heart of the saints when they see that the gospel had been on fire on Facebook, and it was on fire on social media, and people, the pastors and the churches, had really used those areas to reach out and connect with people through social media, which is a beautiful thing. But, you know, this is a testing time. It was a time of testing to see who is righteous and who is unrighteous. And God does allow things to happen in the world, in the life of the people, to test the faith. To test people, hey, are you going to seek the face of the Lord and repent and come in your walk with God, or are you going to go into the more pleasure of the world? Like my son was talking about, like he is now 25-year-old, and he was talking about that, you know, just telling me yesterday that, Mom, like, you know, I feel like the generation, I'm talking about my generation, if I look at the younger generation, Mom, that is terrible. He was talking to me about the social media, which is a tic-tac. I don't know about that, but he was saying that, Mom, site of that social media is terrible. It's so dark. It's so evil. And when you look at this younger generation, what they are into, it's really heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking where the generation are moving into the deepest corruption of the world. Instead of going through seeing the deaths out there, sufferings out there, conflict out there, and there has been conflict in the United States. You know that election and all those things happen, so much hatred, so much, you know, all those things were arising, and you know, there is no love, unity, companion, repentance. No, there is no sign of that. In fact, there's a pride, hatred, a black, white, brown, and all those things. What is that? Is that God? God allowed the things to happen out of love so that he can draw his people back to himself. He had allowed his nation Israel to go back into the wilderness or go into the times of trouble. And Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, all these prophets were sent out to send the word out to the nations to repent, for the kingdom of God draws near. And they were called by God to go and seek God back again. The prophets did go and warn them of the coming wrath and troubles from God, because not because God hated them, because God loved them. That is a passion of God, of the Father of Heaven, that he is bringing the shaking on earth. I, you know, my heart is blessed when the shaking happens, that if someone will come to the senses and repent, and that soul will be saved, because you know that when one soul is saved, the angels celebrate in heaven. The value, the worth of a soul is worth a billion. Not all the treasures of the universe cannot buy the worth of a soul. And for that soul, Jesus came into the world. He came and died. He came and died, and he is coming very soon. And, you know, the Lord has given me the word. You know, my ministry is calling people to repentance, because my journey with the Lord gave me for the word was about his upcoming judgment. It's like I always tell my sisters and my brothers in spirit, I always tell them, hey, the ministry that the Lord has given me is really like Jeremiah. You know, like Jeremiah was hated most because he would go to the king and go and announce that God is bringing this judgment and God is not happy about this attitude of yours. And God, God is going to do this and that. And he was hated and he was put into dungeon and he was punished and he had gone through this suffering because, and you know, the sugar-coated ears, people like to hear the sugar-coated words. But the Jeremiah did not have that gospel. He had the gospel of repentance, which the world hates. And that's the message that the Lord gave me. The first vision he gave me was he had shown me the walls of water, just like, you know, when you look at the picture, you know, how Moses and the nation of Israel, when they crossed from Egypt and they had gone through the River Nile, you know, how this wall was formed, how this ocean was parted, and then it was both walls around them on both sides, and they passed through the walls of water. That's what God showed me. And the Holy Spirit told me that it's not, you know, it's not one wall. There are several walls like that standing, and it's going to fall one after the other. It means like the description of the wall of water, which the Lord had given me the discernment about, that is a form of his judgment. And the Holy Spirit gave me the word. The reason for the judgment is, the Holy Spirit gave me that the mankind is doing whatever they want to do. They are not thinking about the will of God. And if it continues in the same manner, these walls will start to fall one after the other. God gave me that vision, and that was like, that dream had stayed with me for life. And he gave me that word in 2007. And any time there's a troubles coming on earth, God gives me the exact prophetic dreams and visions, and it comes to pass in an exact manner. Not a one prophecy God gave me has not come to pass. It has come 100% in an exact manner. God had given me the prophecy about the 2020 and 2021 also. And, you know, in all those things that we are heading up from year after year after year, things will get tense. It's not going to be easy. But for the children of God who seek the Lord and they said, my soul longs for you, in those times and season of troubles on earth, it's going to be like a birth pain a mother is, you know, before the birth of a child. This is exactly how it's going to be. So, you know, when it's going to happen, the people who are going to be saved miraculously, just like when the Israel was passing right through those walls and nothing happened to them, they came out of that 100% safe. Not a single soul was lost. Not a one person died. They all came out of that safely. But the one who died in those walls were Egyptians. Exactly in the same way, the world we are, our generation, which is the last generation on earth, is going to go through the same phase, is going to go through the same path, is going to be the same kind of an experience that we are going to experience. No matter there's a huge earthquake on your side, but the God Almighty that you smite is able to save you. His angels can be standing on your side and will protect you and your children and your house miraculously, because he's the God of miracle. He had saved his people through miracle from beginning and is going to continue to the end. In the same way, he is going to bless you. He is going to save you. He is going to protect you, each one of you. Not a single person is going to hurt at all. He had shown his miracles in Egypt. The people who had the blood on the doorpost and on the lentils, they were saved. The angel of death did not enter that house. In the same way, the angel of death will not enter your house at all, because you seek the face of the Lord. You cry to him. You are still in his presence, and you desire him to the depth of your heart. You know what? God is not a cookie cutter. You know what? God doesn't want the worship. That's only for tradition. It's only to go to church. It's only to look pious. It's only to look pure. It's only to portray that I'm a church goer, I'm this and that. No, he seeks the depth of your heart. He seeks that deep inside you. You know, there are many times you are not able and I'm not able to see the wickedness deep, inside our flesh. And we all have the weaknesses. None of us is pure and holy. We are all filled with that. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get jealous. Sometimes, that there is a need and we get greedy. There are so many weaknesses in all of us. None of us is 100%. And God knows it. And God is here to fix it all. And you know what? There is a one thing I always think of, and I 100% believe in that. There is a one thing that God is really working through our lives is to take away. We all have a little bug inside us, which is our ego, our pride. We all have that. I totally feel like that in Garden of Eden. Lucifer was Satan, became Satan, became serpent, he had left heaven and became what he become, to the lowest of lowest, because of his pride. And in the Garden of Eden, the one thing that he gave to Eve was pride. And every human born on earth is born with that evil inside them. And God is really working in each one of our lives to help us to be humble, to be pure, to be holy, and to be free of every leaven of pride in us. And, I praise the God that God has really worked so much in last 2 years, 2019 and 20. God has personally worked in my life to take away this pride from me. I never felt like I'm prideful. I always felt like, oh, I'm humble, this and that. You know what? But there are a few areas where I feel like I want to be something. I want to be, in my work, professional life, or this life and that life. I wanted some recognition. No, this is also a part of the pride. Humble. Go to the lowest of the lowest, path in our life, and still be humble and be thankful to the Lord. You know, we are king one day, and next day we are just like a beggar or be homeless. And in that condition, we lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Be like Job, who he was and how, what he became, to the lowest, but he had not cursed God once. He had been thankful to God no matter what. He was hurt. He was upset because of the things he had lost, everything, his children, his house, his wealth, and the worms were crawling on him. But even though he had gone to the bottom of the bottom, but still he was found faithful in the sight of the Lord. You know, when we go through the challenges in life, I know many times we get upset, get angry, get frustrated. Things happen. That's life. We go through the challenges, but never say anything against your Lord, your Father. He is looking at you. He's seeking you. He's nourishing you. And he is helping you to be holy like he is holy. Absolutely leaven-free, no leaven, no weaknesses, absolutely perfect and holy. And I know that the Lord Jesus is coming very soon. And as I was reading the scriptures, there was one thing that came to my mind was really beautiful. It was, you know, how it talks about my soul longs for you and the judgments of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord is really help us to learn righteousness. We had talked about that for a while, and I saw one dream, and it was so real. I saw, like, you know, there's a lion, and that lion is so royal, so beautiful. It was like, you know, that was not a common lion. That lion that was walking on cloud, and I saw that he's coming down on the cloud, and along with him, behind him, is like thousands and thousands of people coming down with him, and he is coming in clouds, and it's a host of heaven or saints. And they were all dressed up in royalty. They were so looking beautiful, gorgeous. Like, you know, they were all dressed up in beautiful dresses, colorful, as if they were all royalties coming from heaven. And the lion was walking. He was walking in front of them. He was the first one. I was looking at that lion was walking with like a king. It was a beautiful lion, and the way he was walking was like a king walking in leisure. It was a beautiful picture. And in the second part of that dream, I saw that me and there are other people, we are standing in it's a big, like a it's a pasture kind of a place, and we are standing there, and we're looking towards the sky. And the color of the sky is so beautiful. It's blue. You know, when you see the bluest of the bluest sky, it's more beautiful than that. I have never seen in the world even the most beautiful picture of you see of your nature, you will not see that. I saw that kind of blue sky. As if these people are looking towards the heavens and looking and seeking the coming of the Lord. And I saw one guy, and he is a, there was a man, he is sitting in a black car, sitting in leisure in his sitting, and he has no care about what is coming in heaven, and there are people looking towards heaven. In fact, he is looking at the people who are waiting and looking towards heaven with some kind of a hatred or dislike. And that person is sitting in a black car. Black is the color of death. And that God showed me there's a people of the world who are so lost in the things of the world and desires of the world. They're the worldly people, physical people who don't know God, who has rejected God completely. And they despise the light because the darkness cannot stand the light. And, you know, because it exposes their evil. So this is the reason why God had given me that little, feel of that experience, that how the world hates the true children of God. There is a battle. There's a hatred between good and evil. And you know what? The Lord had talked about that. You know, Jesus had said that if I'm hated, you'll be hated. And, you know, this is the same thing. If you're the child of the living God, you're not the part of the world, and the world is going to diss you. This is what I saw. And you know, when I was reading that, and I was thinking of that dream when I was reading that scriptures, and it shows, like, how the judgments are coming on earth. The Lord is on the way to rescue you. And the time of the redemption of his people draws nigh. It's right here. We are very close to those days. And you know, as the judgments are on earth, which is the 2021, God had shown me exactly, like, you know, he showed me in a vision that, you know how you see the highways on the road when you go through the interstate highway, not the, you know, small highways that's in the cities and town, but the interstate highway. And, you know, when they build those highways, they build the highways with, it's a strong foundation they set up for those highways. And it's a concrete, it's a layer of concrete they put to build them, because it needs to, I mean, that's one of the most strongest roads in a whole country are the interstate highways. So the Lord had shown me that, you know, this, that highway, that road is kind of a crack. You know how you, when the earthquake happens and with it's a big crack and kind of wash away half of the concrete away, and I saw sand of the ocean in that too. So, like many years ago, God had shown me the disasters are going to come, and it's going to be like, it's going to be a lot of potholes. And the size of the potholes that I saw in my dream, that's what exactly happened. I don't remember the year. It was 2013, 14, 15, I don't remember. But in that specific year, exactly, the rains and storms were of that strength that it formed the exact holes on the road. And God had also shown me, I think it was in 2011 or so, about the, you know, how, what do you call the hails and strong hailstorms are going to come. And it came exactly in the same size of, you know, X size hails were fallen, and it was in 2011, I think around that time. So it happened exactly the same way. So God somehow shows me the intensity of the disasters that can cause that severe damage. So in 2021, God had shown me that the disasters that's going to happen, you know, afterwards is going to be that intense. And, you know, after I saw the dream, I think it was really end of the last year, the storms and disasters and troubles had really had hit, and it had caused a lot of severe damages. So this whole year, there's a lot of expectancy of having the earthquakes and disasters that can cause the damage to that extreme, that can crack, that can wash away the concrete from the interstate highways. So you can imagine the type and intensity of the disasters that's going to come. So the shaking is going to happen on earth. And maybe in 2022, 23, and so on, you know, every year, as we read in the book of Revelations, one trouble happened, then the second was ready to come. When the second happened, the third was ready to happen. So we are living in those times and seasons. These are the prophetic times. Is going to happen. And you can see the darkness in the world is really, really going to another level. As I was talking about how this TikTok, all these social medias, is so filled with evil, sexuality, witchcraft, horror, evil, desire of the new age, all kind of a demonic and spiritual things are coming in the world. The children are desiring the new age lifestyle, not seeking the spirituality of God who created them in his own image. But these people are going away from God. It's getting worse and worse every day. Honestly, the church really needs to rise up. We need a lot of martyrs today. We need a lot of people out there who are standing up with the spirit of revival, who are ready to die for the Lord. There is no fire. There is no healing. There is no power of God showing up. I pray that God is going to raise up the mighty servants who will go out on the street and touch the people and heal them. It's going to draw the attention of the world to the Lord. And this is the desire that you and I need to have. My soul longs for you at night. We are living in the seasons of night in the world. It's night. But how can we do the things that God has called us to do if we don't have that faithfulness, that obedience, that fire, that desire, that passion that Isaiah is talking about it here? My soul longs for you. My soul longs for you. Isn't it a beautiful thing how much we need the Lord in our life more than ever? More than ever. And you know what? That is true that, you know, it does bring the correction. As, you know, as the things are going to get worse, and many times, most of the time, men do not hear, the gentle and still voice of the Lord until they come and see the shaking that can really shake them from this slumber sleep, shake them so much they are awakened up that where I am, what happened, get their attention. And, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. The fact is that the word of God, teaching of the God, you know, the only way to get people to the righteousness and to train them in righteousness is the word of God. It's a two-edged sword. That's the word of God that can pierce to the heart and mind of people. First of all, the word of God is not only that you go out and preach and say the things that can affect the heart of the people. It's what you live. It's important to live the word of God in our life. Exemplify through us, through our character, through our love. No matter somebody hates us, but we reach to them with love. And many times we fail. I fail in that too. You know, the first thing that hit me is anger. And I said, God, please help me with my anger. Please make me like you. Help me to deal with that. The moment I ask that, the Holy Spirit come and take over and help me to become a better person. We need the Lord every minute, every second of our life. Every minute, every second of our life. And Jesus said to pray ceaselessly. That's what we need to do, even though we are at work or we are busy in life, we are grocery shopping, or we are with children, we are with the family. Every second of the life, enemy is looking to devour whom he may find. He comes. He comes in split of a second, and all these powers of darkness, they work like a speed of light. They are fast. They are powerful creatures. And for a human flesh, with us, it's hard battle. But through Christ, we can do all things. You know that the Lord of hosts is the Lord. And that's why he said to pray ceaselessly. Because with our prayer, with our supplication, with our connection with the Lord, this is how we win our battles on a daily basis. And we have to continue on doing that. As the world is moving more towards the darkness and the evil ways, we are going to be hated more. The darkness is going to hate the light more. Because in John 3:19 we read, This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and the men love the darkness rather than the light, for the deeds were evil. So when the Jesus came into the world, he is the light of the world. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is Alpha and Omega. He is everything. When he came into the world hated him. And the word says, this is a judgment. This is a judgment. And you know what? Again, this is a matter of selection and choosing. What you choose, what you prefer, what you want to do. God doesn't love by force. He gives us the choice, a choice to make. Choose the right thing, choose the wrong thing. You know what? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, we read that, you know, I'm going to just pull this verse real quick. It's a beautiful scripture. Just a moment. Isaiah chapter 5. And we are going to read verse 20. Verse 20 is right here. And that really is the story of the world today. Actually, it's been from the beginning. It's not only today. This is very much like a human nature that the scripture is talking about. That how, you know, it's a human nature that, you know, we don't comprehend what is the true righteousness, what is not the true righteousness. It talks about that. Go and search that in New King James Version. I will read. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." So this is a lifestyle. It's a very common lifestyle of the world. And people do call evil good and good evil. You can exemplify that out there. The lifestyle that the people have today, they find it all good. They will not say that there's anything wrong about that. If you tell them, hey, not to read the witchcraft books, because all those books and movies and shows, it has the characters of evil and wickedness. And what you eat, that's what you become. No matter, it's not the food that you eat, but what you listen to, what you watch, that becomes part of your spiritual food. And it hurts to see that even the churches do not recognize that all the books and the material and the shows that comes in the Hollywood and the social media today, they don't find that there is anything wrong about that. It really surprises me to see every young and teenager in the churches, they are fan of Harry Potter, yoga, New Age things, and the shows and programs that comes on TV, and they carry the spiritual life of the world. And the church, the parents, the houses, the pastors encourage material and things like that. So it does pollute the inner soul, the inner man, because when a person meditates on the things of the witchcraft, if you look at the Harry Potter, what they're teaching in that, they have a school in which they're teaching the spells and witchcraft. Now, where it's leading, what kind of doctrine it is. But, you know, when you tell these teenagers and children and young people or young adults to watch the movie, watch The Passion of Christ, The Chosen, and the many other movies like that, and become a fan of that and read those books, they'll get bored out of that. So there is something that's missing somewhere. That's a pollution of the soul. That's really what the people are doing, and they call evil good and good evil. And exactly in the lifestyle out there, this huge corporations in the United States, you know, on in many parts of the world too, all over the world, in fact, they are practicing, they enslaved the poor and middle-class people, worked them like dogs, paid them not enough, practiced injustice, but still call that good. They're doing great things for the society and country and all that, but still practicing injustice. The seed, and they're becoming billionaires and trillionaires through injustice by enslaving this, you know, poor people to work with extreme pressure atmosphere in environment, high demand, high expectation. And it's really like a burden. They put, like the Pharaoh put the burden on Israel. This is exactly what I see out there in everywhere. Any workplace you look at, this is the exact practice you see. But they call this is good. There is nothing evil about it. When you look in the medical practices, the doctors will go and they try to run every test on a human body to, you know, on every patient, try to run every test they can run only to get their bills high, to make more profit. But they call that evil good and good evil. Now, people go in parties and drinking and clubs and parties, and they don't find that vulgarity is called good evil and evil good. In churches, you know, people practice lawlessness. They do divorce and maybe remarry 10 times. They call evil good and good evil, so be it. And this is the doctrine that even the church has. And the people, you know, the purity of a relationship is lost. A man and woman, a relationship between man and woman is not to be found anywhere. The purity that God had created for Adam and Eve for, you know, from the beginning is not there at all. Selfish. Everyone is, most of the relationship are based on selfishness and many other reasons. And, you know, people betray each other, partners. That's called evil good, but they find it okay. That's part of the culture. So there's so many things you can, you know, put it out and talk about that. There's so much details, and this is exactly what the Word of God is. But the God is bringing the justice, the judgment, and shaking on earth, not to hurt mankind. And many times the churches do not want to talk about the scriptures in Book of Revelation and talk about the judgment of God because they find it very heavy to digest. It's wrong. It's so evil. You know, why would God hurt people like that? Why would God do this and do that? No, that is His love. He's trying to draw people back to Himself, to correct, to purify, and to bring them from the darkness to light. And, you know, in the last days, unfortunately, this is what is happening out there, too. There are many false prophets are rising up. and they are showing the great signs and wonders, and they are out in the social media, very popular, and they are influencing people with the wrong doctrines and wrong thinking, and feeding them ungodly desires. Like, you know what, God does not want people to get lost in the systems of the world, like the rulers and politics and things like that. You know, the church, the prophets, their focus is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true King of the universe, to bring them to repentance and humility and bring them to the kingdom of God. That should be the only focus of a servant of God, not talking about the social media and the things and popularity gospel and, you know, prosperity gospels and everything for their own satisfaction, or to look themselves what they want to get themselves to be recognition for. So it's more like self-recognition, self-worship, more than God. But God really wants you and me to rise up today and serve Him the way God wants us to use us. And you know what? Acts 2:20 is right here. It says that the sun will be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord. So the sun will be turned into darkness. It is. There is a darkness in the world. And you can see that these signs are really happening. We have seen so many phenomena of the red moon, and the moon has become blood. It has gone through. We have gone through those phases in 2015 and 14 that we had that season gone through. And this year also, there's several full moon and super moon, and the sun had got darkened, and these are happening. And it's not that it happened once; it's going to happen again and again. And in fact, you know, as the time goes by, it's going to come with more intensity and more strength. This is what the Word of God is. And you know, as we enter from tribulation to great tribulation, it's going to be intensified. It's the same troubles, but it comes from the, you know, from the low scale to the high scale to the extreme scale in that manner. So, and in Matthew 24:29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will become darkened. It talks about it again in that also. The Lord is really seeking His people. The Lord is looking for you. My soul longs for you at night. Yes, my spirit within me seeks for you. May the Lord give us a heart and desire for that. I pray that the Lord, you know, we come into the fellowship and learning and the desire of the Lord to the deeper level. I pray that we become the children of God, that the God desire for us. He's the Alpha and Omega, and I'm going to play this song a little bit, and I'm going to pray.
You are
just pray. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the Redeemer, the King of the universe. He is an awesome God. Lord, we pray to come into our life, God. God shakes us, God. Bring your presence that we seek you at night, God. We seek you day and night, God. We praise you day and night, God. God, I pray for each and every listener to come to the intimate, passionate love relationship with you, God. In these days, in these dark days, God, we need you, Father. Father, I pray to take over each one of us, God, and bring us to the newness of life in unity with you, in relationship with you. God, bless each and every servant of yours out there and increase them in you with your power of your Ruach HaKodesh, God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for the fire of Holy Spirit to burn each one of our hearts, God. Bring us to the unity with you and glorify your name on earth. And we call upon your name and to use us, God. This is our prayer that God, me and my household will serve you, God. Help us to serve you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, my friend, Prophetess Iris. I really like you how you share your dreams and what God has revealed to you in your book. And it goes right along with the scripture here. I appreciate you. I thank God for the callers that called in tonight and those that are streaming. And I thank those that will listen to this podcast even on demand. Thank you for the prayer and the song, Prophetess Iris. I'm going to close the podcast now. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Kazris, CEO and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International. I so appreciate you joining us tonight. God bless you. Look for some information on the next podcast. I'm not sure when it will be. But we give God all the glory, honor, and praise for every topic. If you would like to go on demand for other podcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. So I'm going to end right now thanking my guests for joining us and just letting these words impact you. Only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you and have a good night.